Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station. This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago host, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
It's a Spring Trading Tuesday.
It's you.
Sylvie.
Look at you.
Little Tommy Waddle. I'm David
Kaplan. Look at you. You put your driver's gloves back on. Look at you steering the wheel of this vehicle.
My longtime partner. We did 10 years together down the dial.
At no point did I ever drive the show. So, like, if we're going to go in way back mode, I just said, look, I'm not driving this.
You drive it.
Yeah, I'm not driving this.
And we are talking a lot of football today. We'll get some NCAA basketball. We'll have a chance to get a team and win $100 gift card to Lou Malnati's, but we're going to talk football right now with the outstanding Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. He was a member of a front office in the NFL, host of Move the Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks. And don't forget, the NFL Network is providing live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit on April 25, 26, and 27. Daniel, good afternoon. Welcome in to the Waddle and Sylvie Show here on ESPN 1000. The long-running national nightmare of what's going to happen to Justin Fields is finally over. So what's your takeaway from everything you witnessed this offseason?
Well, first of all, now that this is done, what's it like to actually have to put a rundown together for the show? What's that been like?
Well, we're going to talk a lot of Padres, Dodgers baseball. That's what we're going to start with you, whether or not you have a 3 a.m. wake-up call scheduled for tomorrow.
Right. Darvish beat the Dodgers.
This is where, watch how well I'm going to tie this up into a bow.
Okay.
We have Caleb Williams Pro Day on NFL Network. We're going to be covering it from the studio. I live in San Diego. Studio's in Los Angeles. I don't want to deal with traffic. So I'm going to get up. I'll leave my house probably at like a little bit before 4, which would probably put that thing in about the fourth inning maybe. And so I'll listen to that thing on the way into work to cover Caleb Williams.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so Ryan, let me ask you a question first before we get into real hardcore football. We were having this argument upstairs. So yesterday I start getting pictures from O'Hare Airport being tweeted at me. A buddy of mine texts me who works for United Airlines. There's Poles and Eberflus going through security at United. They're flying out last night. And everyone's like, yeah, typical cheap Bears not having a private jet for them. Is that a big deal? I said, if you're bringing Caleb Williams here, making him go through security, maybe that's not the best way to make a good impression. The coach and GM, I have no problem flying first class. Am I wrong?
Look, I've been on combine flights back in the day on Southwest, and I've had GMs and head coaches sitting there. I'll be honest with you, this was one of the funny ones. I was going to watch my son's at Baylor, and I was going to go watch a big basketball game there a couple weeks ago against Houston. And I'm getting on the plane, and I recognize somebody, and it's Jared Stidham. And so I start talking to Stidham, who is literally the starting quarterback of one of the 32 franchises in Denver. And he was like in row 23. He didn't even go to the exit row. And then I'm with my daughter. And I'm like, gosh, I'm going to have a hard time telling mom that I only fly first class when one of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL is sitting out here in just regular 32D or whatever he was in. But no, some teams, look, that when you go around and do a bunch of private workouts, most of the teams will use the jet for that to go do a bunch of these privates. You can get two or three of them in a day. But for pro days, a lot of those guys fly commercial. That ain't a big deal.
How do you know, Cap, they're actually in first class? You just assume. They may be in row 33 with Jared Stidham.
They had TSA pre because they were going through TSA.
It doesn't matter. You get a TSA pre without being in first class.
That's true.
Am I wrong? No. By the way, before we talk football again.
Those are all facts.
Daniel, what do you make of the Cease trade? Come on, let's talk about things that are really important to you right now.
Yes. Oh, dude, you know what? I did watch that that game the other night, and his stuff looked pretty good, pretty electric. So this is what I have to admit. I haven't watched a lot of the White Sox over the last few years. I know him, you know, by reputation. Yeah, exactly. But he's got live stuff, and from everything that I read, at least, was that the White Sox defense was pretty terrible. So he should benefit because we do have a pretty good defense.
Okay. All right. So we clean that. They clean that up. And before we get to any quarterback talk, I know you also do the Chargers in preseason, correct? You're on the broadcast for the Chargers preseason.
Yeah, for the whole year. For the whole year. I do the radio for the whole year.
So you tell us what we're getting. I think we all know what we're getting, but you would know better than us all of the details. What are we getting in Keenan Allen?
Well, he's a third down machine. So he's still, you know, I haven't seen any drop-off. I've called every Charger game for the last 6 years, and I haven't seen any drop-off in terms of his quickness. He's incredibly smart. So, you know, the Chargers have had smart quarterbacks there. Rivers is really bright. Herbert's really bright. And you just have a trust there that he's going to see the right things, do the right things, be where he needs to be. You know, he's not going to be super, super explosive. You know, his 100-yard games, which there'll be a bunch of them, are going to come via, you know, 10 catches, 8 catches. He's not going to have those 3-4 catch games for 100-plus yards. That's not the style he is. But, man, as you guys know, man, for a young quarterback walking in and knowing I've got baked-in layups, this guy's going to give you baked-in layups. Just let him run option routes on third down. You can live with that.
That's where I was going with it, Daniel. I know he's going to be 32 at some point during the season. My hope is that they're going to find a way to sign him to an extension that helps them with the number of his salary this year, but also ensures that he'll be here at least a couple of years. The value for him in this team is immeasurable when it comes to helping along a good rookie quarterback, is it not?
Yeah, I think his experience with Justin, you know, and Herbert had one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen, and he was a big part of that. So having a guy like that to just be dependable and reliable and just having faith in him, I think it's huge. I I'm not alone. Everybody's saying the same things. I love what Poles has done in terms of laying the foundation here, you know, for Caleb to walk right into this thing and have a chance to have some success, take some pressure off of him. You know, the fascinating thing for me is going to be, what do they do at 9? You know, do you trade back? Do you take an edge rusher? To me, I just think when you're so, you know, everything is about this decision at 1 to get him playing well. It would almost be too tempting for me to say, screw it. If one of those top 3 receivers is there, I'm going to take him and just throw him into this talented mix and really, you know, just set Caleb up for a really, really smooth entry point into the NFL.
Daniel Jeremiah is on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotlines from the NFL Network. They'll be all over the NFL Draft. We were with Olin Krutz last night, Tommy and I, and he feels that if there is a really, really good offensive lineman sitting there at 9, he said, I would take the offensive lineman. Then you have bookend tackles if Joe Alt is there or Fashanu, and you have him with Darnell Wright. Now you've got big-time play up front. Do you see a scenario where they would do that, and would anybody be available at 9?
Yeah, I think there's going to be one there. I mean, I have no problems with that if they wanted to go on along the offensive line. You talk about Fashanu there at Penn State. I'm a huge fan of Fuaga out there at Oregon State, who's played right tackle. So, you know, you could plug him in. You'd have two physical guys, him and Darnell Wright. I think you could flip them however you wanted to flip them. But yeah, without question, when they pick at 9, there will be a offensive tackle there with Pro Bowl ability. You know, that these quarterbacks, especially when we get the fourth one that's going to go, which I think is going to happen. I mean, I talk to teams all the time that, you know, I talk to teams that are picking, you know, late teens, early 20s, who are just like, dude, can we get 5 or 6 of these quarterbacks to go? Please, just let them all go. It's going to push all these players down. But the Bears are going to have an elite pass rusher there, maybe their pick of pass rushers, potentially. They're going to have a very talented offensive tackle there. And they're, you know, potentially, I think there's a chance one of those top 3 wideouts is there. They're going to be in a good spot.
Daniel, how active do you think the trade machine will be leading up to this draft, or when the draft does begin, as people try to climb up in round 1 to maybe draft one of these quarterbacks, whether it's Penix or it's Bo Nix or it's J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be action for the fourth one, whoever that is. I think, you know, I kind of assume that's going to be J.J. McCarthy. That's the you know, the feedback I've gotten and talking to teams around the league that he'd be that guy. So I think that's going to, you know, elicit a move up the board. And then after that, you know, maybe it's a small one if there is one. I mean, if you're the, you know, the Raiders, you're sitting tucked in right behind, you know, a team in Denver inside your own division that could be a quarterback team. So if somehow McCarthy was still there, or if somehow, you know, you fell in love with either Penix or Nix, why would you take the chance that he could go one pick in front of you when you could just leapfrog that team in your division to get your guy? So right. I don't think you'd see a big move up the board, but I think a small move like that wouldn't shock me.
In your latest mock, you do have the Bears taking Roma Dunze at 9. And I think the last time we talked to you, I think you let us know that you thought the difference between he and Marvin Harrison wasn't very big. Like, do you still feel like Roma Dunze is every bit as good as the other guys in this draft at that position?
I have him as my second guy. So, I have a big grade on him. He's my third overall player in the draft. Marvin's number two. But I have him ahead of Neighbors. It's a flavor thing with him and Neighbors. You know, totally different styles. Neighbors is crazy, crazy explosive and dynamic and gives you the run after catch stuff, whereas Adunze is a little more polished. He's bigger catch radius, more physical. So that's kind of a flavor thing. Marvin to me is still the number one guy. I went back and for fun over the last two or three days, I went back and watched all of Caleb Williams stuff from 22, and I went back and I watched all of Marvin Harrison stuff from 22. Those are my number one and number two players in the draft. Obviously, them as the top players of their position. But I went with the theory of, like, you know, you've been married for a while, but you kind of want to rekindle those old feelings. So you go back to when you had your first date. So that's what I did. I went back and watched that 22 tape, and I came out of it and I was like, oh, yeah, that's why I fell in love with these two guys. And that's where I am now.
That's where you have to go to actually watch him play quicker, right, Caleb Williams? Like, there are a lot of people out there, Daniel, that are saying, well, he plays too much hero ball. The ball doesn't come out quick enough. I felt, and I'm not the expert that you are on Caleb Williams, I felt like he tried to do too much in 2023. But if you go back to 2022 when the group around him was better, you'll see him play on time and you'll see him do all of the traditionally good quarterback things that you're expecting.
That's what I came away with. I was actually talking to Orlovsky about it, and I said, hey, you ought to go back and even if you just go back and pull up all of his explosive plays, there's a decent number of them from 22 that come from within the structure. Now, even some of those, he's got some run throughs, but you'll see him sidestep, climb, and deliver the ball accurately. This will sum up where we are with people having these strong opinions on him. Like, Caleb has somehow just become this very polarizing player. I posted a clip from the 2022 Utah game. I posted two throws from the regular season game at Utah. And one, you know, one's a dig that it was like 3rd and 15. He just rips it, right? First down. The other one, he escapes a run through. He gets outside. He has the awareness to not get past the line of scrimmage, and he lofts the ball up in the air beautifully for a completion. So I post these two plays. I get back the reaction, yeah, and who won those games? Get out of here, blah, blah, blah. Just killing me, right? So I went back and I said, so here we are. He threw for 381 yards and 5 touchdowns. He ran 8 times for 57 yards and lost 43-42. And I'm like, what are we doing? Yeah. What is happening right now?
Welcome to our life.
Yeah, welcome to Chicago. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, and by the way, if that happens, he wins, he has an undefeated season, you know, during the regular season. And they're like, and they lost to Utah again. I know. He only threw for 363 yards and 3 touchdowns in the rematch. So he really sucked in that one.
Yeah,
exactly. In terms of Justin, put a bow on it for us. If he was in this draft, knowing what you know of Justin, where does he go? Does he go in the first round?
Oh, yeah, because people are always going to gamble on talent. And, you know, the tools, the things that would get you and have me, to be honest with you, excited about a guy like Drake May, size, the physicality, the arm strength, the athleticism, the toughness, like he shares a lot of those things, you know, with Justin. So Justin has those tools, which if he was coming into the process and we hadn't seen him for 3 years on an NFL field, you would say, I want to take a gamble on that. You always, you know, there's all these nuggets and notes floating around about the failure of these quarterbacks over the last few years, and it has not been a high hit rate, right? But it, you're always going to chase greatness. My whole thing is, like, if you just want to play it safe, and then you go, okay, well, best case scenario, I'm going to want to replace this guy within 3 or 4 years and want to find somebody who's better. And then you're in other words, like, find somebody who has that ceiling. You got to take your shot. You got to take your swing. You got to be aggressive and hope like heck that you hit on one of these guys. And if you do, you're set for a decade plus. And if you don't, you know what? You get right back on the horse and you go try and find another one.
Daniel, what do you make of the ultimate trade of Justin to the Pittsburgh Steelers? The time it took, the compensation they got in return, and just how it all went down. How surprised were you? And how do you kind of describe the entire experience?
Well, it was interesting. I haven't heard anybody kind of compare it, but, you know, you guys, as we talked about, I'm a baseball fan. And some of these things can kind of be timing. Like, there's a reason. You think Blake Snell went into the free agency thinking he was going to get a 2-year contract, like, no, that there wasn't going to be more? Well, what happened is all the chairs filled up. Yeah. And so once the chairs filled up, your value goes down. So, you know, I think if they would have made that trade at the beginning of the process, they would have got a little bit more than this. But I also think there's somewhat, you know, the ghost of Sam Darnold, where, you know, and I'm guilty of this, of using that as maybe that's a roadmap for what the compensation could look like, which was a 2, a 4, and a 6. But they immediately had to pick up the 5th-year option. That did not work out for Carolina. So they traded, you know, 3 picks, ate the money, and then had to move on from the player. And I think that has, you know, kind of been a little bit of a cautionary tale for these teams, and saying this is a 1-year guy that we're going to bring in to be, you know, really kind of insurance. Like, how much are we really going to pay for that? And that's, you know, that's kind of where you ended up getting what you got.
There is a report from Pro Football Talk, Bleacher Nation, and a bunch of them are all over this now, that the Falcons and the Eagles, but the Falcons are being seriously investigated for tampering on Kirk Cousins and on Darnell Mooney. If that is true, and Ryan Pace is one of the people being investigated, according to PFT, if that's true...
I want to investigate him on why he drafted Mitch Trubisky instead of Patrick Mahomes, but that's a different conversation for a different time.
If that stuff is true, you worked in the league. What is an appropriate punishment for that?
Well, I think you're going to look at draft picks. You know, I don't know how high those picks would be. I think if you go back and look, I saw something about this the other day. When the Cardinals got in trouble on the Jonathan Gannon thing, mm-hmm. you know, from talking to him early, I think that was, what, a 5th-round pick?
Maybe.
Something like that. Now, the Eagles, this would have to refresh my memory on this, but I think the Eagles just made a trade. Who did they just make a trade? And they ended up getting... ended up swapping some picks and
Kenny
got some
Pickett.
Later round
Kenny
picks.
Kenny Pickett.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But I think they ended up swapping some picks in there, too. But I just remember looking at that thinking, they have some extra picks. If they got hit with the 5th-round pick and it ended up with them getting, you know, whoever they got in free agency, Saquon Barkley, whoever else they wanted to come after the Eagles with, I guess they would say they'd be okay with the cost of that penalty. I don't think it'll be more than that. I would think somewhere in the day 3 would be what the penalty would be.
You did have the Dolphins get stripped of their 2023 first-round pick and their 2024 third-round pick and fined $1.5 million, and the owner suspended because they tampered with Brady and Sean Payton.
That's hefty. That's hefty. I think the names involved probably had something to do with that, too. But, man, I would be a little nervous if you start doing this with, you know, one or two of these teams. I promise you, this is not something that's select to them. But I don't know how do you prove that, though, right?
Like, if you not leave a digital footprint.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're calling the agent. Well, the agent could represent 10 people. You know, I was calling to talk to him about, you know, one of our players that he represents. Like, I don't know how you'd be sloppy enough to leave a paper trail on that could get you caught.
Yeah. That'd be silly. Hey, real quick, back to Justin. How do you think he'll fit in Pittsburgh? And obviously, you know, Bears fans will be watching because it's a conditional 6th-round pick that becomes a 4th-round pick if, in fact, he plays 51% of the snaps. You think this is a good spot for him?
I think so. I don't know what other spots were out there for him. You know, I think this was, you know, kind of it. So I think the way that he likes to play matches the Steelers. in terms of being able to run the ball, push the ball over the top off the run game, let him run around, make some plays, the physicality, the toughness. I've talked to Bucky Brooks on our podcast and said, just going back to when I started with the Ravens in 03 and kind of spending some time inside that division, the Steelers for the last however many years, when they're good, it's the same formula. They play great defense, they run the ball, and they've got a quarterback that can create a little magic, you know, at the end of half, end of game scenarios. And that's kind of how Russell Wilson plays the game. And I think there's something to that. You're hoping that that's what Justin Fields is going to be.
Hey, man, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the baseball game because we're both baseball guys.
Yeah, get some sleep. It's a 3 a.m. wake-up call if you want first pitch, if you want to be part of first pitch.
But do you know how, like, it sucks when your team loses? Man, can you imagine how bad it's going to suck when you wake up at 2:45 to get ready to watch it and they get killed? That would be a bad
thing. Well, you got 161 more of them, I guess, is the best way I could encourage you that it's not going to be the end of the season.
I'll tell you this. I probably will not be up for first pitch, but if somehow we beat Glasnow and the Dodgers, you can bet your bottom dollar I'll be watching the pregame on the Thursday game. Awesome.
Hey, man, have a great day. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Daniel.
See you guys. Bye.
Appreciate you. There he is, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. He used to work in the Ravens front office.
Yeah.
He is as wildly connected and as good at his job as anybody.
And by the way, his latest mock draft is out. He's got, obviously, the Bears taking Caleb Williams at 1, and he's got them taking Roma Dunze.
At 9.
It's an interesting conversation. I know you mentioned what Olin had to say, and you and I have talked about that. Maybe that's something we should kind of hash out. When we come back, about what you think and what I think and what everyone thinks they should do at 9, because they're going to have options in terms of really talented players. It's just a matter of which position they want to choose. Yeah.
All right, we got to take a quick time out. Phone lines are open for you, 312-332-3776. If you're on hold, you will be on the air. We'll continue. Waddle and Sylvie, I'm Cap. In on spring trading for Sylvie. Be right back.
Waddle and Sylvie, from our State Street studio to your hellish commute home. We're there with you, making it bearable. Never mind. Back to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
On the Waddle and Sylvie show on a spring trading Tuesday. Sylvie's on vacay. Enjoy your time. I'm David Kaplan in with my old partner. That's right. We did 10 years together.
We did.
The great Tom Waddle.
It sounds like we were prisoners in a correctional facility.
Correct.
We did 10 years together.
At Lewisburg.
We did 10 years together. Look, I want to say something as well. I'm not suggesting that the Bears front office, head coach, general manager, and everyone else flying commercially is the worst thing in the world. I just, when I saw it, I was a little taken aback. Like, really, guys? Like, your franchise is worth like $5 billion now. It'll be worth $10 billion when you build that stadium.
Yeah, in Arlington Heights.
We can have that conversation as well.
You're not but building
in a
city.
I just thought that's a perfect example to come, you know what? We got the number one pick in the draft. We're coming in, flying in hard. A nice, you know, 20-seat bird landing in wherever. Is this out in USC?
Yes.
Okay, because I know he's been working out of Jacksonville.
Correct. It's at USC.
So why not take the private jet, take the PJ out to California?
Okay. Unless you buy a NetJets card, which you can do. They don't have Air McCaskey.
Don't even come over here with a cane and a cup looking for change to pay for it.
I'm not asking for that. I'm not saying that.
You know what?
They don't have a jet.
You are such a hypocrite, because I'm telling you, if this was the Green Bay Packers, you'd be lighting them up like a bonfire.
Yeah, because I hate them.
If this was anybody, you'd light them up like a bonfire, because you'd be like, this was the Indianapolis Colts. Are you kidding me? You've got the number one overall selection in the NFL draft. This is the biggest thing that you can have going.
That's nonsense.
National television. And you're going to tell me you're going to fly commercially out of the International Airport of Indianapolis? You'd be killing them.
No, I would not.
Yes,
now, if you told me you flew Caleb Williams back here for his 30 visit on Southwest, yeah, I'd tell you that's ridiculous.
No, they do fly their players when they sign them. I believe they flied Keenan Allen and his family out on a private jet.
Flied?
I said, did they fly him out? I know I said they did I say fly?
Yeah.
He flied? He flied out here. You knew what I was saying.
Yeah,
like, come on, you speak Waddle, don't you?
A little.
They flied him out here.
They flew him out here on a PJ.
Did I say flied?
Did I?
Yeah, he
Jesus,
did.
I'm having a bad head day.
They flew him on a PJ.
Why can't they fly? Why can't they fly Poles and Eberflus and others out on a PJ? Why not?
They went first class. Big freaking
deal. You
don't
know that. You keep assuming that. Maybe there weren't any first class seats. Maybe they were all sold out.
Okay,
business class.
The 3.5 hours, just hell.
I'm just saying, like, again, if this was somebody else, this was Detroit. This was Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. And they were flying out, you know, in commercials. You'd be ripping them.
No.
Yeah, you would.
I would not. I would absolutely not. But I would like to see Atlanta get their eighth pick.
Well, that's interesting.
Stripped.
That is interesting because if the punishment is severe, like if they're going to take away their first round pick, that's eight. That slides the Bears up.
That's correct. That is correct. Also, I would like to know if you have heard from Netflix yet.
I know there's a punchline here. I have not.
Why? Building on the success of its quarterback docuseries, Netflix announces receivers. They will have receiver this summer. Would they like to have a retired receiver?
If they would, I would call Randy Moss or Jerry Rice, not my dumb ass.
Why? The average person would identify more with you.
Well, the guys that are on the list are not average guys. The guys, the current players, are elite guys.
Right. So we have the elite, and then we have you.
I get enough of this crap from Mellor. I don't need it from you.
This is a good game. How many wide receivers would they call before they called Tom Waddle?
Here's a good
retired
game. Here's a good game for you, Mellor. Who do you know has a higher career yards per reception average than the newly acquired Keenan Allen?
That I know? Well, Keenan Allen, I believe he's got a career average.
You can talk through this all you want. The question stands.
Per catch.
Right.
Who do I know that has a higher yards per catch average than 11.6?
Yeah.
Me personally.
Yeah.
Well,
he's got a really scraggly beard.
I haven't talked to Herman Moore in a while, so I don't know.
You've never talked to Herman Moore ever because you don't know him. You don't know him. Herman Moore wouldn't take your call. Mm. By the way, Herman Moore and I were rep by the same guy, Brad Blank.
Really?
Herman was, what was he, the second pick of the draft? And I was undrafted. That's
Herman went that high?
No, I think he was, wasn't he top 10?
Top 10, though.
Top 10?
And he definitely had a higher yards per catch than Keenan Allen.
But you didn't know him.
Now, I mean, not anymore, but at one time we were
friendly. You never knew him. You have never spoken one word to Herman Moore at any point. Never.
Yeah.
The answer to your question, the answer to the question is me. Okay, so back to you. What was it now?
Herman Moore went 10th in the 1991 NFL draft. Right. Played 11 seasons.
Correct. I said top 10. Me and my boy Herman, we know.
All right, what are you doing at 9? What are you doing at 9?
If it's me and I'm on the clock at 9 and Joe Alt is there, I'm taking him.
Somebody just swayed your opinion because you were Roma Dunze or Malik Neighbors.
No, I was Malik Neighbors, but I keep hearing he's not going to be there.
What if he is there?
If Malik Neighbors is there, and again, he won't be. If he's there, I would probably be able to be convinced to take him because I know how much the Bears like him.
If Roma Dunze or Malik Neighbors is available at 9, that's where I go. And I acknowledge that they need to get better at the offensive line at the point of attack.
I want a difference maker at 9 rather than going, well, I traded back to 24 and I got good player.
I'm fine with that, too. Like, of the three options, trading up, staying at 9, and trading or drafting someone or trading back.
Okay,
would be your preference? And I get it. It would depend on how things fall. So let's start and say there's one of the top three receivers is available at 9.
I would have to seriously consider taking that receiver.
What are you doing? Don't tell me what you're going to seriously consider. The clock is running. You've got to put in the card at a certain period of time. You got 10 seconds. Who are you picking at 9?
Hold on, though. The only thing I'll say is
You still didn't answer my question.
Hold on, though, because I think this gives Cap some
melody. The answer to the question is me.
No, but here's the question. Okay. If one of the receivers are on the board for the Bears, whether it's a Dunze or Neighbors, we assume it'll be one of those because I think most people suspect Harrison will be gone. But in that scenario, in all likelihood, Joe Alt is not going to be on the board if one of those receivers. So basically, it's going to be a decision between Fashanu.
I don't believe the Bears would take Fashanu.
I think Alt is.
Or Fuaga, the other tackle from Oregon State. Because I think most people think Alt is going to be the first tackle off the board.
Well, let's walk through this real quick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have,
And Jeremiah, and I lost his
mock.
His mock draft. Mock. I had it, and then I lost it. And I can't
Moore
find
never
it.
Lost the mock draft that we
know. No, he did not. He did not. You're right about that. I think Herman Moore sees things more clearly than me at this point as well. I think Daniel Jeremiah had Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, J.J. McCarthy 3, and Drake May 3.
No, Drake May was 2.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Kuiper just dropped his just now.
Okay, but
let's confuse it more.
Don't do that to me, okay? I'm struggling today. Haven't you heard me? I've misspoke like 9 times. The first 4 picks in Daniel Jeremiah's mock 3.0 are quarterbacks. So then who do you have? Marvin Harrison's going to go 5.
He's going 4. He has him going 5 to the Jets in a trade-up.
Okay, it's 6.
Six, he has Neighbors to the Giants.
7.
Joe Alt to the Titans.
Okay.
And then the
8.
Do the Falcons have their pick, or have they?
They have their pick.
They pick Dallas Turner, probably.
Yeah, I think so. Right.
Okay, so now Rome Odunze is available. I'm drafting Rome Odunze at 9. What are you doing?
And you told me
you're just afraid Olin's going to smack you right in the back of your head.
So you're telling me.
I'm telling you, if Rome Odunze is available at 9, I'm drafting him. Yes,
I would probably take.
Don't flip. Get the sounder because you were Mr. Add a Receiver,
Hold on. You're telling me Odunze's there, but Alt's gone, right?
In this case, yes.
Then I'm taking Odunze. I'm not taking Fashanu. If Alt is there, I'm taking him, but
who
I don't think he'll
Tyler
be
at 9.
I'm taking Rome Odunze.
Who are you taking, Mellor?
Yeah, give me the receiver. You know how much I love big physical receivers, Tom.
I know you do. So, yeah, that's who you're drafting.
Tall, lanky guys.
Okay, let's play this out. So there's none of the top three are available. At 9, what are you doing at that point?
Well, if none of those three are available, how many quarterbacks have gone in the first
8? 4 quarterbacks have gone. I'll even tell you that then there's been 3 receivers, and Joe Alt has gone. Are you going Jared Verse? Are you going Dallas Turner?
Right,
Dallas
Turner? Correct.
Are you going
Fuaga, the other tackle, or Fashanu?
What are you doing?
Bowers is there, too.
I like Dallas Turner more than Jared Verse, but they're both really good prospects.
How much tape have you watched of either of them?
I have
just
not
be honest. Be honest.
Dallas Turner, yes. Jared Verse, very little.
And by tape, you're probably watching highlights.
Correct.
The way everybody is.
That is correct.
You don't have time to get into the lab and watch all
I
of these guys.
Regular tape right. On Caleb Williams.
Of course.
Drake May and yes. Jaden Daniels.
Okay. Who are you taking? Joe Alt's gone.
I'm taking Turner.
He's taking Turner.
I'm taking Verse.
Who are you taking, Mellor? Trading out of there is also an option.
You know, I think at that moment, then, I would trade back because I am intrigued by all Turner, Verse, and even Latu. All those edge rushers, you can make a case for it. So I would trade back at that point, Ned.
I'm with Mellor. If Joe Alt isn't available, and he is considered the best of all of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty universally.
And the 3 receivers are gone. That's when I would be more inclined to trade back. And I'm not going to, I mean, if you decide you want to take an edge rusher at that point, I mean, I can see that as well. But I would look to trade back. Now, if I don't get something that is delicious and appetizing, then I won't trade it. But that would be my preference. So try to get a second round pick.
It might be tough, though, if all 4 of those quarterbacks are gone.
Right. Who would be willing to move up?
Yeah, who wants to trade up, and what are they trading up for?
That's a good point.
Well, Minnesota has loaded up to trade up to get a quarterback.
Well, Daniel Jeremiah actually has Minnesota trading up to 4.
To get J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, because Minnesota made the trade, remember, with Houston earlier in the week. Or was it yesterday, or maybe it was over the weekend?
Yeah.
To get another first-round pick.
Correct. They got the 23rd, so now they have 23 and 11.
It seems like the Vikings, if they're going to make that trade, they have to go up 2, 4, or 5 because the Giants sitting at 6
are
the one that they would be concerned about missing out on.
Now, I will say
no draft has ever had 4 quarterbacks go in the top 4. It's never happened.
Really? Mm-hmm. I will say this. Like, I do hope that they find somebody that you can really hang your hat on in terms of a legitimate difference-making offensive lineman. I hope that's Darnell Wright. I hope that Braxton Jones continues to develop. I hope that Tevin Jenkins stays healthy. I hope that Nate Davis is going to give you 15, 16, 17 games, and I hope one of these guys that they have brought in is good at the center position. But I really like their receiving core. Their tight end group is better because Gerald Everett does different things than Cole Kmet. I like their running back room. It's diverse. They do different things. But you got a rookie quarterback, that offensive line, which one of the mistakes you made with Justin. Okay, and one of the things that I think you're trying to do now going forward, and it is like straight from Ryan Poles when we talked to him, is create the infrastructure that makes life easier on a young quarterback. You didn't do that, and it was the previous regime in Justin's rookie season with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. And then year two of Justin's tenure here in Chicago, it was a complete teardown, which was the right decision, in my opinion. I said then, and I'll say now, it was the right decision by Ryan Poles, but it didn't do Justin any good. So now you're creating a much better infrastructure. Got to make sure that you feel really confident when you line up at that line of scrimmage with your offensive line. I think it is a valid point. Like, we can say, hey, we like that they added the depth here and the center that
Coleman Shelton
that they added from the Rams, who started every game but graded pretty poorly, but knows Shane Waldron's system. I just hope that when you put this group together, they do a better job going forward than they did for the previous crew.
Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Hey, Devin Hester and Johnny Knox, yeah. There's your receivers. Yeah. Go get them, kid. And they didn't have a very good offensive line.
Right. And again, I'm being you know, very transparent here, saying that I thought the right thing to do for them, not being personal, not making it a mean-spirited thing. I think that the right thing for them to do was to move on at quarterback. But I'm also one that will tell you that the infrastructure for Justin was awful, at least for the first 2 years, and you don't want to repeat that.
Agreed.
And that's how you're also going to try to get yourself at, because everybody sits and says, Cap, well, why are you even going to draft a quarterback? Not everybody. Some people at first overall, Bears never developed a quarterback. Well, I'm not going to blame the current administration for the sins of the previous administration. But if you want to do things differently, that infrastructure and that foundation's got to be as good as you can make it. And it looks nice, but that offensive line, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean,
when has Tevin played a full season?
Right.
Nate Davis, I don't know if I can rely on him. Darnell Wright, I like a lot. I got a mediocre center.
So, it's, I mean, an upgrade. I guess what I'm doing is talking myself into Joe Alt's potentially.
So I'm telling you, if he's there and you tell me,
I'd still go with the receiver if he's available. But
if Joe Alt is there and your scouting staff says to you, that guy's going to play in multiple Pro Bowls, I'm taking him.
And I couldn't argue with that.
I just don't think he'll be there. I don't. All right, we'll get to your calls next. That's what we're going to go. We're going to go to the phones. We've got a bunch of people that want to talk. Your call's coming up. It's the Waddle and Sylvie Show. It's spring trading. I'm Captain for Sylvie. We'll be right back.
Waddle and Sylvie are back. Are back. Follow the show on Twitter, at Waddle and Sylvie, and at TWaddle87. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
It's time to play the game.
I got to change my ringtone. I have that as a ringtone for this time of year.
64 teams.
One chalice, baby.
One chalice. So we're going to use one chalice.
Well, I like Mellor's better.
Well, Mellor's a dirtball sometimes.
But stop.
It gets us in trouble quite a bit.
Thanks, buddy.
You know I love you, but I'm just telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Call 312-332-3776. First 10 people, you're going to get a team. And do you know the prize package for the person, ultimately, if the team we give you wins the entire tournament?
You win a $100 gift card from the fine folks at Lou Malnati's. I procured that from my wife.
Yes, you did. So thank you to Mindy Kaplan, yes, for providing the $100 gift card to Lou Malnati's. You're also going to get an Ayo Dosunmu signed basketball. He scored a career-high 34 points, I think, a couple of games ago. He's played really well. He has been a better player than I probably thought he would be. I'm not suggesting to you that he is going to develop into an NBA All-Star, but wouldn't you say he's done a pretty fine job improving his game this year?
Yeah, the Bulls hired a new head of player development, Peter Patton, who was the guard at DePaul.
Peter went to Patton.
Loyola.
Yeah.
Played at DePaul. They hired him away from the Mavericks.
Is he responsible for the improved play of a Kobe White and an Ayo Dosunmu?
Tom, I'm a player's guy first and foremost. The player itself
is responsible. I'm with you there.
But Peter's done a really wonderful job.
Does he focus on guard play?
He focused on everything. Okay. Vooch said that's why he's shooting the ball better this year.
Vooch is shooting like crap, isn't he?
No, he's actually not.
Hold on a second. By the way, they're one game under 500 now, right?
Playing good ball.
One game under 500.
Aren't they always one game under 500?
No, no, they're usually three games under 500, Miller, okay. So they really turned it on.
You know what? They're locked into the ninth seed, though, right?
I think so. Vooch is shooting 29% from behind the arc.
I didn't talk about threes. He's 7 feet tall.
I get it. I get it, Cap, but that's his game. That's what you brought him here to do is to spread the floor, right? When he was in Orlando.
This is breaking news. When he was Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I don't know what this is.
I don't either, but we have breaking sports news. We send it to the ESPN 1000 newsroom. Here's Tyler Aki.
According to Ian Rappaport and many others, Mike Williams is heading to the New York Jets on a one-year, $15 million deal.
Wow. How about that?
Okay. Like Mike Williams, but we had this question before. Would you have rather had... Didn't we have this? Did we talk about this yesterday? Or was this something we just did amongst ourselves? Would you rather have given up a fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen? This was part of Aki's A-list. Or would you rather have given up no draft currency and signed Mike Williams, who's coming off an ACL?
Coming off an ACL, no. I'd much rather have Keenan Allen.
Me as well.
100%.
By the way, breaking news brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group, home of the 60-minute guarantee. Anyway, did we get 10 callers? You're going to get a team, 64 teams, one chalice, 312-332-3776. Tournament starts tonight, right?
Yes, play-in, first four.
Is the play-in game considered part of the tournament? Yeah. Do you do that?
Absolutely.
Because in the NBA, the play-in game isn't considered part of the playoffs. That is so stupid.
Agreed. By the way, multiple people now tweeting Chicago Bears general manager Ryan Poles and head coach Matt Eberflus
took a cab from the airport.
USA spring practice right now.
USC.
Yeah.
You said USA.
USC.
Oh, I thought you said USA.
USA. USA. He's an idiot. You're unbelievable, man.
All right, let's take some calls.
All right, let's go to the phone. Space is in Plainfield. He's a loyal ESPN 1000 listener. I don't know if he's done crying yet. Space, welcome to the Waddle and Sylvie Show.
Why would he be
crying? He's part of the Fields fandom.
I love Space. Yeah. Space is our guy. It's okay to be a fan of somebody and be upset that they aren't with the team any longer.
Well, you got Spacey. How are you, kid?
Cap. Waddle, what's up, guys?
Space, you sound a little sad.
I'm distraught. I told the wife I'm going to call in and talk to my sports therapist. I need you guys to talk me off the ledge.
Okay, Space, let me ask you a question real quick, and I'm not trying to be a wise ass, okay?
Yeah.
And I feel like I have to preface this all the time so that people don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Shared culpability, Space. It wasn't just Justin's fault. He was dealt a bad hand.
Facts.
But what about the fact that while he was their starting quarterback, they only won 10 games that has you not upset? I can understand why you'd be upset, but distraught is a pretty serious emotion for something that was very mediocre at best.
I know. You know the part that hurts the most? Now that we have put all the pieces in place, now we get rid of them. Now we got real multiple weapons. You know, you got a backup to Cole Kmet that's pretty decent, Gerald Everett. You got Keenan Allen with DJ Moore. Oh, my. You got a fast back, a really good scat back there in Swift. And now we get rid of Justin.
Space, I have another question for you, okay?
Yes, sir.
So your general manager thinks strongly that there is a player available in the draft. And fortunately, because he made a very, very strategic move by trading the pick last year and had some good fortune and has the first overall pick again this year, he believes, Space, that Caleb will use Caleb Williams is a better quarterback than Justin Fields or can take the team farther. Wouldn't you want the general manager of your favorite football team to make a decision he believes in versus making a decision he doesn't believe in?
You know what? I do. I would want him to do that. And you know what? I'm going to take a page from your book, Tommy. I just want him to get it right.
Amen.
That's the whole thing.
Have we not been telling you that in the morning?
Hey, listen, listen. Space and I are having a moment here. We're having a moment. Don't you interrupt.
I've been telling Space, so is Hoodie, for 3 months. Hey, man, he was a great kid. He was the fourth best quarterback in a four-team division.
That's true.
That's it.
Yeah. You know, but I think he's going to sign over there. I think... I'm now a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm not dropping the Bears. Bears are number one, but now I do like Pittsburgh. I have picked up their fandom, but
which is understandable. Listen, you can always be a fan of more than one team. And by the way, yeah. Space, if Justin does well in Pittsburgh, I think everyone here will appreciate that. And from a business perspective, that would mean that sixth-round pick would probably turn into a fourth-round pick, so it would be beneficial to the organization. Correct. If he plays well. So that would be a win-win in that case.
I agree.
Space, and have a great day, man.
We've healed a little bit. We've come together.
We've come together. We just want our Bears to win.
Amen.
Definitely. You too, fellas.
All right. Thanks, Space.
See you, buddy.
Be well.
There you go.
I'm going to solve some more. You know what? I'm going to bring us together a little bit more for the next 2.5 hours.
Yeah, well, there's a few of them I don't want on the bandwagon.
Okay.
There's a few of the Jets.
That's fair. Well, there's some people that have been disrespectful and unkind and haven't been civil with their interactions with folks.
Correct.
And that's fair. But those that would like to have a civil discourse.
Yes,
we will invite them. And then we'll try to get everybody pulling on the same end of the road.
The others who have been brutal, you don't get to just jump over now and go, all right, we ride with Caleb. No, F that. Go follow your guy to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't play that game. I go in the other room and watch something different.
You didn't deal with the vitriol Sylvie and I had to deal with.
Did you get some vitriol? From who? For what?
Heaven forbid you say anything critical about Justin. It's like you insulted their child.
Critical? Were you professional about it?
Yes.
Was it personal?
No.
Well, then people should understand that that's the nature of professional sports.
That's it. By the way, Jack G on Twitter, listening to the show, loves the Waddle and Sylvie show, said, let's cut right through all the BS, guys. Here's what will 100% happen. And he actually has retweeted this from March 7th. He's right. Bears are moving to Arlington Heights. Justin Fields is getting traded. White Sox will not get a new stadium. The Bears will draft Caleb Williams, and the Cubs will win 90 games. I agree on all of them.
Would you like to talk some stadium next? Take these calls as well, but then talk some stadium.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's moronic to build in the city. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Get your calls and more next.